Blog Talk Radio. Chapter 21, Advantages of the Country.
Whenever possible, it is the duty of parents to make homes in the country for their children. Fathers and mothers who possess a piece of land and a comfortable home are kings and queens. Do not consider it a privation when you are called to leave the cities and move out into the country places. Here there await rich blessings for those who will grasp them. Again and again, the Lord has instructed that our people are to take their families away from the cities into the country, where they can raise their own provisions, for in the future, the problem of buying and selling will be a very serious one. We should now begin to heed the instruction given us over and over again. Get out of the cities into rural districts, where the houses are not crowded closely together, and where you will be free from the interference of enemies. It would be well for you to lay by your perplexing cares and find a retreat in the country, where there is not so strong an influence to corrupt the morals of the young. True, you would not be entirely free from annoyances and perplexing cares in the country, but you would there avoid many evils and close the door against a flood of temptations which threaten to overpower the minds of your children. They need employment and variety. The sameness of their home makes them uneasy and restless, and they have fallen into the habit of mingling with the vicious lads of the town, thus obtaining a street education. To live in the country would be very beneficial to them. An active out-of-door life would develop health of both mind and body. They should have a garden to cultivate, where they might find both amusement and useful employment. The training of plants and flowers tends to the improvement of taste and judgment, while an acquaintance with God's useful and beautiful creations has a refining and ennobling influence upon the mind, referring it to the Maker and Master of all. The earth has blessings hidden in her depths for those who have courage and will and perseverance to gather her treasures. Many farmers have failed to secure adequate returns from their lands because they have undertaken the work as though it was a degrading employment. They do not see that there is a blessing in it for themselves and their families. In the cultivation of the soil, the thoughtful worker will find that treasures little dreamed of are opening up before him. No one can succeed in agriculture or gardening without attention to the laws involved. The special needs of every variety of plant must be studied. Different varieties require different soil and cultivation, and compliance with the laws governing each is the condition of success. The attention required in transplanting, that not even a root fiber shall be crowded or misplaced, the care of the young plants, the pruning and watering, the shielding from frost at night and sun by day, keeping out weeds, disease, and insect pests, the training and arranging not only teach important lessons concerning the development of character, but the work itself is a means of development. In cultivating carefulness, patience, attention to detail, obedience to law, it imparts a most essential training. The constant contact with the mystery of life and the loveliness of nature, as well as the tenderness called forth in ministering to these beautiful objects of God's creation, tends to quicken the mind and refine and elevate the character. He who taught Adam and Eve in Eden how to tend the garden would instruct men today. There is wisdom from him who holds the plow and plants and sows the seed. The earth has its concealed treasures, and the Lord would have thousands and tens of thousands working upon the soil who are crowded into the cities to watch for a chance to earn a trifle. Those who will take their families into the country, place them where they have fewer temptations. The children who are with parents that love and fear God are in every way much better situated to learn of the great teacher who is the source and fountain of wisdom. They have a much more favorable opportunity to gain a fitness for the kingdom of heaven. Through disobedience to God, Adam and Eve had lost Eden, and because of sin, the whole earth was cursed. But if God's people followed his instruction, their land would be restored to fertility and beauty. God himself gave them directions in regard to the culture of the soil, and they were to cooperate with him in its restoration. Thus the whole land, under God's control, would become an object lesson of spiritual truth. As in obedience to his natural laws, the earth should produce its treasures, so in obedience to his moral law, the hearts of the people were to reflect the attributes of his character. God has surrounded us with nature's beautiful scenery to attract and interest the mind. It is his design that we should associate the glories of nature with his character. If we faithfully study the book of nature, we shall find it a fruitful source for contemplating the infinite love and power of God. Christ has linked his teaching not only with the day of rest, but with the week of toil. In the plowing and sowing, the tilling and reaping, he teaches us to see an illustration of his work of grace in the heart. So in every line of useful labor and every association of life, he desires us to find a lesson of divine truth. Then our daily toil will no longer absorb our attention and lead us to forget God. It will continually remind us of our Creator and Redeemer. The thought of God will run like a thread of gold through all our homely cares and occupations. For us, the glory of His face will again rest upon the face of nature. We shall ever be learning new lessons of heavenly truth and growing into the image of his purity. The great teacher brought his hearers in contact with nature, that they might listen to the voice which speaks in all created things. And as their hearts became tender and their minds receptive, he helped them to interpret the spiritual teachings of the scenes upon which their eyes rested. In his lessons, there was something to interest every mind, to appeal to every heart. Thus, the daily task, instead of being a mere round of toil, bereft of higher thoughts, was brightened and uplifted by constant reminders of the spiritual and the unseen. So we should teach. Let the children learn to see in nature an expression of the love and the wisdom of God. Let the thought of him be linked with bird and flower and tree. Let all things seen become to them the interpreters of the unseen, and all the events of life be a means of divine teaching. As they learn thus to study the lessons in all created things and in all life's experiences, show that the same laws which govern the things of nature and the events of life are to control us. that they are given for our good, and that only in obedience to them can we find true happiness and success. Of the almost innumerable lessons taught in the varied processes of growth, some of the most precious are conveyed in the Savior's parable of the growing seed. It has lessons for old and young. The germination of the seed represents the beginning of spiritual life, and the development of the plant is a figure of the development of character. As parents and teachers try to teach these lessons, the work should be made practical. Let the children themselves prepare the soil and sow the seed. As they work, the parent or teacher can explain the garden of the heart, with a good or bad seed sown there, and that as the garden must be prepared for the natural seed, so the heart must be prepared for the seed of truth. No one settles upon a raw piece of land with the expectation that it will at once yield a harvest. Diligent, persevering labor must be put forth in the preparation of the soil, the sowing of the seed, and the culture of the crop. So it must be in the spiritual sowing. Wrong habits seen as weeds. If possible, the home should be out of the city, where the children can have ground to cultivate. Let them each have a piece of ground of their own. And as you teach them how to make a garden, how to prepare the soil for seed, and the importance of keeping all the weeds out, teach them also how important it is to keep unsightly, injurious practices out of the life. Teach them to keep down wrong habits as they keep down the weeds in their gardens. It will take time to teach these lessons, but it will pay, greatly pay. Parents are under obligation to God to make their surroundings such as will correspond to the truth they profess. They can then give correct lessons to their children, and the children will learn to associate the home below with the home above. The family here must, as far as possible, be a model of the one in heaven. Then temptations to indulge in what is low and groveling will lose much of their force. Children should be taught that they are only probationers here, and educated to become inhabitants of the mansions which Christ is preparing for those who love Him and keep His commandments. This is the highest duty which parents have to perform. So long as God gives me power to speak to our people, I shall continue to call upon parents to leave the cities and to get homes in the country where they can cultivate the soil and learn from the book of nature the lessons of purity and simplicity. The things of nature are the Lord's silent ministers given to us to teach us spiritual truths. They speak to us of the love of God and declare the wisdom of the great master artist. I love the beautiful flowers. They are memories of Eden, pointing to the blessed country into which, if faithful, we shall soon enter. The Lord is leading my mind to the health-giving properties of the flowers and trees.
The time of Jacob's trouble.
Whoa! Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Leola, and I am calling from Gonzales, Louisiana. And we just want to thank God for allowing us one more time to join in on the prayer line. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Father, thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, as we come before your throne, Lord, we want to praise you, want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come and share and come and be a witness to those that don't understand you. Father, we thank you so much, Lord Father, as you've been using Sister Power, Sister Leola, and Sister Richardson, and Brother Richardson, all those that have been on the prayer line, Sister Stephanie, all your children, Father, you've been using, Lord God. So we ask that you continually to be with us as we join on Advent Light Ministry tonight, Lord. Fill us with thine Holy Spirit, Lord. Lead and guide us. Give us wisdom and knowledge. And Lord, as we open your word, Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit to pour out the blessings upon us when we read and study your word, Father. I'm asking you for a double portion, Lord, to pour it up on me, Lord God, as I host this prayer line, Father. I'm asking that you use me. Lord, teach me. Give me the wisdom, Lord. Help me to understand how to host, how to do your will, Father, because, Lord, in all this needs to glorify you, Father. So help me to learn and be educated and to accept your will. And, Lord, most of all, to be humble and be teachable as someone trying to help and teach me. Father, thank you. In your most precious name, Jesus Christ, amen. And brothers and sisters, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the prayer line. And may we be blessed tonight by sharing the word of God and reading and studying. So I want to read from Proverbs. Sisters and brothers, I'm coming from the book of Finding the Path to Peace, and I'm still in consecration. Sisters and brothers, we just don't know how much we need to consecrate ourselves before God. So this book is powerful. Mind me to read Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, the call of wisdom. Brothers and sisters, if we ever need wisdom, we need to ask God for it now. So let us read, begin reading wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. And the Lord had me to choose this book because wisdom, the Bible say when you get wisdom, get an understanding. So we are praying that the Lord continually to be with his people in teaching us. And all we need to get some wisdom. So let us read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. It begins with wisdom cries. She uttered her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief places of concourse and the opening of the gates. In the city, she uttered her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity and the scorn delight in their scorning? And the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my word unto you because I have called and you refuse. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Oh, Lord Jesus, let me just pray a prayer, Lord Father. Lord Jesus, we call upon that holy name right now, Lord Jesus. These powerful words in the Bible, Lord, it touches the heart. It rebukes the mind and the heart, Lord Jesus, that we need Jesus so much, that we need to seek him. We need to go to the feet of Jesus and fall down. Lord, this sinner, I'm a sinner, Lord Jesus, saved by your grace. And all we can do, Lord, just come to you and say, Father, forgive us. Lord, help us to turn from our wicked ways. And Lord, let us turn to you with all our heart and all our mind that we can be healed from this sinful nature, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for just pouring out your love upon us. In this Bible, Lord, these words speak volume, power. Oh, Father, we thank you right now. So, Lord, help us, help your people, Lord, to understand what this book is saying. So, Father, as we continue, we go to verse, brothers and sisters. It says, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities, and I will mock when you fear, when fear cometh, when you fear coming as a desolation, and your destruction coming as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me. Brothers and sisters, he said, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and fill with their own device. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearken unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Oh, brothers and sisters, God is trying to help us. Let me open the line, brothers and sisters. We open the line for, let me make sure. 951.
All right. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. I just want to give God thanks for all the things that He have done for me. I'm going to sing this little song, you know, because you know what? When we see God's goodness, we have to give Him the praise. And this song said, to God be the glory, great things He had done. To God be the glory, great things He had done. So love He the world that He gave us His Son, who healed at His life for atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give Him that glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him that glory. Great things he had done, great things he had taught us, great things he had done, and great rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be a wonder of transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him that glory. Great things he had done. Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Leola and brothers and sister. I have to praise the Lord. God have done so much great things for me. And I know he have done great things for you guys. And we have to just praise him. When we look upon the things that he have been doing in our life and to show us, you know, all we have to do is to trust him. And, you know, be faithful to him. He is able to do all things. From morning, sister, my dear sister, God have been blessing me. This today we have a wonderful, I can say I spend have a wonderful day. And great, and this is just blessings, Lord. When I look up at my granddaughter, my grandchildren, the three little ones, them that used to come on the line here and sing, you know, when they were smaller. And even when they're bigger now, I went to this morning, the mom called and said, yeah, I'm going to bring them home, bring them over. And I said, sure, I haven't seen them for quite a while, brothers and sisters, because you know this pandemic, this sickness, I don't know what disease that is on the land. It allows us, you know, not to be seeing each other like how we used to see each other and share with each other. So anyhow, they came over this morning. First, I told her that we were watching a funeral viewing from, you know, live from over the television. And eventually she said she would send them. And my dear brother and sister, if you see those little ones, those three little ones, they grew up so much as actually young lady. I look at the 10-year-old, I have to say, wow. She's like a young lady, my dear brothers and sisters. You know what? And I am so happy to see them. You know, they were so happy to see their grandma and their Auntie Sophie. And they have a good day. They spent quite a few hours. And that was a blessing. Another blessing, and to give God the praise for that, I can live to see these little ones from a baby. You know what? I have them from before 6 weeks. Right, so you know, and three of them. So I raised those three girls, and when I look at them, I just have to say, Lord, thank you. And I just praise again God for what he has done, and I'm asking for prayer for them so that they will grow up to be, you know, respectful, love the Lord, and you know, that they can be an example to their little friend. Another praises I have to say today, this morning, we had the viewing, looking, watching the program over the television. And brothers and sisters, I was just in, get myself dressed like I was going to church. And I have the song, book with songs of praise with other, you know, one of my adopted daughter. I have to say she's just like my daughter, you know, my daughter friend. But she's not just a friend. She's like a daughter of mine. And we were over out there, you know, and our fiancé. And after, we were singing songs, and he joined, and I was just singing songs, waiting until the program started. And brothers and sisters, it was really a wonderful program, a wonderful, you know, God have done a lot of things. When we do the good that God wants us to do on this earth, and when our eyes is shut, closed, and the Lord put us to rest, brother, our life will live on because of the things that we have done represent Christ, and it will go on. And it was really a blessing. Then after that, my dear sister, my day was busy, and I said, I'm going up to look for my retired pastor and his wife. So eventually I go out. Somebody said to me, you're driving? I said, yes, I'm going to drive. And I went up to look for my pastor and his wife. Brother, they were so happy to see me. They said, I was just going to call you. And before I even sit down welcoming them, they took me to the garden. My dear, I went into the farm this today. And when I went around the farm, my dear sister, if you saw how many produce was on the ground, the tomatoes, them, they're ripe and they drop on the ground. We have zucchini, we have cucumber, we have eggplant, we have sweet pea, we have peppermint. The gardener was loaded, my brothers and sister. Kalalo, what we call spinach. And I was there to reap, so I went up there just with a little bag, and I came down. If you see how much bag I came down with, Carlo, and every produce from the garden. And I also hear my neighbor, the son, saw me coming out, and he said, Sister Powell, you want me to help you? And he took out the stuff out the car back, and he brought it in. So I shared some of the produce with the mother. Brother, we have to give God thanks. God is such a wonderful God. He knows, he provides, he protects, he keeps. So I just praising the Lord for the things that he have done, the wonders that he have done, and the things that happened in my life today. It was a wonderful day, and I just want to give God thanks and praise. I will just offer a word of prayer. Kind and loving and righteous Father, this moment, Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for the prayer lines that we are on, Lord, and even the one that we just came off, Lord God. We thank you for Sister Leola, who hosting tonight, dear God. Continue to use our Father God, and to allow her, dear God, to understand more and more about you. Each day we are growing in you. So we just want to thank you, Lord, as they are preparing and looking out for the storm in Louisiana and in other parts. We ask you, Lord, to shun it, that it go back into the sea, Lord God, and help them, dear God, that they continue to pray and trust you. Lord, we lift up our dear brother, Elder Richardson, and Sister Richardson. Lord God, as Sister Richardson, Elder Richardson, praying for their children, Lord, wonderful children. Their son was with them the other day, Lord, one of the sons. We want to thank you that you give him traveling mercies. We lift up Brother Lou to you, Cindy and Casey. Lord God, you are their keeper and guide. And as we leave them in your care, we ask you to supply their many needs, Lord. And the desire of the parents, Lord, that they will draw closer and closer to you. As we pray, Lord God, on behalf of the Rhode Island group, Brother Chuck and the others, Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift up Sister Benny to you, Sister Boy, dear Father God, Elder Wilson, brother Sister Brian, Sister Abbott, dear Father God. You know all things about them, Lord, what is happening. Also, we lift up the pastor, both his wife and his two children in Tennessee who have the COVID-19, Lord, pandemic. Lord, we ask you for healing process towards them. We lift up Brother Yudi and his family. Brother Rick and his family, Lord, Ashley and the other children. We also lift a Dixon, Lord, from Tennessee, who we heard from the other day, and she was in the hospital. We ask you for give her a speedy recovery, Lord. Send your angel at her side. We also lift up, Father God, Sister Nelda, the good news, Lord, how you protect her, how you keep her from danger on the road with the tire, dear Lord. You are so good. You are so great. We also lift up Sister Mary, dear Father God, Sister Brenda and Brother John, Sister Carla with Nicholas and Amanda, dear God, Sister Carla with her house, Lord, Father God, is on the market, Father. We ask you to allow her, Father, that everything will work out good in her interest, Lord. We also lift her up with their co-workers, them, and also our clientele, Lord, Father, those who she study with and share the word with. We lift them up, Akeem James, Brother Akeem James, his mom. We lift them up to you, Lord, and also his father, dear God. We also lift up Brother O'Neill as he's praying, Father, for his children, as for himself, Lord, that he will be faithful to you. Lord, Brother Eli is praying for his mother, himself, Jahari, and the group, Lord, and the 40 days of prayer for the youth that they are having in the church over there, Lord. We lift up Brother Bernard to you and his family. We lift up, Father God, all those individuals. There are so many people call on the line, Lord God, Sister and Brother Morgan, Lord, Sister Naomi, dear Father, Brother Jeff in Florida, dear Father, Sister Rose, Sister Michelle, Kenyatta, dear Father, all those individuals we lift up. You know what they need, dear Father. So as we lift them up to you tonight, we ask you, dear God, to hear our cry and guide and protect them, dear Father, that they may know that you are there for them, for them in everything. They have to only trust you. We just want to thank you, Lord. We leave it in your hand, and you are our King of Kings. And there is nothing we ask of you. You said you will not give unto us. So, Lord, we leave this prayer in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, and thank you guys for the patience. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Powell, for the prayer. You have everyone. I'm telling you, Lord, we are blessed on this prayer line. So we just so grateful to God and what he has given to us as a people on this prayer line and all prayer lines that we share on. So thank you once again, Sister Powell, and may God continually to bless you. We love you. So we're going to move forward with the others, brothers and sisters, as we are so grateful to our mother on this prayer line, because brothers and sisters, Sister Powell is the mother of the prayer line. She's been with this prayer line since the prayer line began. And then Sister Leola and Sister Powell began to come together, because at one time, and we talked about Sister Powell, you know, our sons don't need a mother, but they're going to need some prayer warriors. So Sister Power and I come together, and Brother Yudi and all the young men that was on this prayer line, we kept them all in prayer. Praise God. So we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters, and the line is open for 232. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from, please. Brother Akeem is on, and brothers and sisters, we asking you to be brief. So he's on. So go ahead, my sister. Go ahead.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for being merciful to us and thank him for keeping us praying and warring together with love and peace and power.
Mm-hmm.
Him for us getting together once more. I have a prayer, a little short prayer I would like to read. Forgive me, Father, for all my sins. Merciful God, I rejoice in knowing you, knowing that you sent your Son to absorb me of my sins. Alas, I am weak and prideful, often neglecting to ever even ask for forgiveness for my sins. I beg you now to hear my cries of repentance, because I wish to be more humble with each passing day. I pray all of this in the name of the most humble of all, Jesus Christ, who died so that I could live. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we can get so much out of this. Yes, Lord, amen. I learn a lot every day. And I thank God for everything. So this is what I've been needing a long time ago. So it's never too late, no matter how old you get. So we want to thank God once more, because he's worthy, no matter how many times we thank him. And my brothers and sisters, I just want to continue praying for one for another. Keep the sick, the homeless, and all the people that distracted, and y'all understand what I'm saying. Just pray for those so they may find peace. And humble themselves, because it won't get no better by destroying and get dying, and so it won't get no better. They have to find God or get to know God. And I ask that we continue to pray for them, and God knows what's best. And everybody have a blessed evening, and we love y'all, and we're going to continue praying one for another. Hold on a minute.
Amen.
This is John from Houma, Louisiana. And I just want to say, yeah, thank God for his many blessings. And I just want to share that I've been moving forward in the Word of God and in the Word of the Bible and things like that. Just constantly moving forward, not looking back, and I don't want to ever go back, you know, to the old habits and stuff. Because the new habits, through the Word of God, they have wisdom. I've learned wisdom through the Word of God, and it's just so much to say about God and His ways. But I just want to thank God for God and His prayer line that's teaching me and that's teaching all of us. And I just want to say, just keep your head up and just keep believing that God will make a way. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda. And God will make a way. And as we see Brother John's life, brothers and sisters, God has been doing all. Can that wait for the brother? So let's go to our next caller, which is 423-308, your line is open.
Hi, good evening, Sister Luna. I and a friend Esther will bring a song to you. I'm pressing on the upward way.
Amen.
So we hope that we all press on to the upward way, because we know that Jesus is about to come. So let us continue to press on and to reach for that mark which is set before us. Okay? Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand, my feet on heaven's stable land, a higher place. set my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to sin without a rise and fear dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand, my feet on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan darts at me a hole. My feet has caught the joyful song, the song of things on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand, my feet on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to feel the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. By faith I pray the heaven above. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand, my feet on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leona, for opening our line.
Amen. Amen, sister. We all want to be planted on higher ground so we can stand. Thank you, Jesus, for the song. Brother Richardson sung a song earlier. I wanted to comment on that song. I love that song, but I forgot the name of it. So we just praise God anyway for his praise. So thank you, Lord. Now we will open the next line. We want to thank Sister Richardson, and I believe she said Esther. We want to thank you guys for singing praise to God. And you know those songs lift our heart up also. So thank you, sisters, for bringing that song. And now we're going to open the next line for 518-74. Your line is open. Amen?
Thank you.
Give us
thank
your name.
Thank you, Sister Leona, for opening my line. Yes, this is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and just praising the Lord. And, wow, what a beautiful song. Thank you. To the ladies for singing that. That gets us in the mood for worship. And I'm just excited to hear Brother Akeem again. I've been listening to Brother Akeem online, different presentations that he's done. I've been listening to Brother Christopher Hudson, which he's been extremely blessed too. And thanking the Lord for the messages that we are receiving, and just praising the Lord for these young men that are willing to go out there and put everything on God's side. I'm just grateful for that. It keeps us thinking and acting in the way that God would have us to do. So I'm just really thanking Him for that, and I'm just thankful for this prayer line, Sister Leola. Just you and Sister Carla host, Sister Powell host, and just a blessed time when we get together and able to converse with each other. So I'm just thanking you, all the hosts, for their efforts in making this possible. And the Lord has been good to me. We had a very good weekend. It was a blessed weekend, and I'm just praising Him for that. We had a wonderful service at our church. I had to go to a memorial service on Friday evening. I did come on the prayer line, but it was quite late by the time I was able to get on. So I was coming back home from memorial service. One of our longtime church members passed away actually back in January. And they just now had the service because he was actually in Ohio, and they brought him, actually his wife came back to have a service. So I just want to remember the Hoig family in prayer. The Lord would continue to comfort them. John was an elder at our church for many years. They moved to Ohio a few years back, and he was an elder out there, and he got ALS and struggled with that for about 4 or 5 years before he finally passed away from that. So just remember the Hoig family, and just please remember my family in prayer. It's good to hear Brother John moving on the upward way. He's just praise the Lord that he is committed himself to God, and it's just great to hear that testimony. And Sister Brenda, just really nice to hear them. So thank you all for sharing. It encourages all of us. And I don't want to take up too much time, Sister, but I will continue praying for Jarvis and your family. Please continue praying for mine, and thank you.
Yes, thank you, Brother Rick. And as you always tell us, that you are praying for Jarvis. And Brother Rick, we are always lifting up you and Ashley, your family, on the prayer line. When you're not here, when you're here, we are constantly lifting up our brothers and sisters on this prayer line because we love our brothers and sisters. So thank you so much for continuing to pray for Jarvis as the Lord work on his heart. Now, brothers and sisters, we want to thank all brothers and sisters that join us tonight, that share tonight. You know, you're not giving Sister Leola no praise, nothing, but you're giving all this to your Father, which is in heaven, and to your Savior, because he said, if we don't praise him, he said, the very rocks. Do we need a rock to praise God when he have said he created us in his image? We don't need a rock. I got a mouth, and if I can shout, if I can praise, I'm going to give our God praise because he is worthy. When he give up his life for a sinner like me, when I know I don't even deserve it, oh, Lord God, thank you, Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, now we have Brother Akeem on the prayer line, but we're going to go into a prayer. We got to pray. We got to lift up these prayers so Brother Akeem can come on in and start his message. So we're going to ask, Sister Power has prayed, but we're going to ask for another prayer. And we're going to ask if, we're going to ask Sister Richardson if she can just offer a prayer, a word of prayer for us. So let's see if Sister Richardson, will you be able to offer a prayer for the request that's been made? Or you can just give a collectively, the request was Brother Rick. Brother Rick, pray for his family and keep his family in prayer. And there was another family member that passed away. I thought I heard him say it's a white family. I'm not sure. And also, it's a power prayer. And Sister Brendan, Brother John, and my request. And also lift up Brother Akeem and Sister Power family. So, in general prayer, you know, lift up the prayer line. Amen?
Okay, amen. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful that we can come, oh Father, even on the second day of the week, because or the first day of the week that we can come on this prayer line, oh Father, knowing the time that we are living in, oh Father, it's time, oh Father, that we really hold on to you and praying to you, oh Lord, knowing that we have a Father who cares, who listens to his children day after day, and we thank you for spare life. We thank you for strength. We thank you, oh God, for your Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us into all truth. Lord, we pray, oh Lord, wherever we have come short, we ask you, oh Lord, that you will forgive us and to cleanse us and to wash us from all iniquity. I bring before you the Rick family, oh Heavenly Father. I thank you for Brother Ricky always coming on and giving you good encouragement, oh Father. I pray, oh God, that he will continue pressing on to the mark of the high calling. Continue, Lord, the great work that he's doing. I pray, oh Father, for your blessing and your mercies in his life, for his daughter, for his wife, for his children, oh Heavenly Father, as I present them before you, oh God. We know, Lord, that this world, it's with all its shining and its glory, with everything that glitter is not true gold. So we want them, oh Father, to not to look at this world, but to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of their faith. Continue to bless them, continue to be with them, shower them with your richest blessing. We pray, oh Heavenly Father, for Brother John and his wife in a special way. We pray, oh Lord, as they continue, oh Lord, to encourage each other on this line, always encouraging, always asking for prayer for this line, for everyone. I pray, oh God, a blessing upon them. And as they go out and as they share your words, many souls will want to call thee blessed. I pray for Sister Powell, oh Lord, a lady who is powerful in prayer. Oh God, bless her. I pray for a blessing upon her. She continue, oh God, to share those books and to go out and to witness and to tell others of your love and your soon coming. Continue to bless her. Continue to be with her. Bless all her children, her grandchildren, as we present them before you, oh Lord. Who is Stephanie, like a powerhouse, oh Lord. I pray, oh God, a blessing upon them, and they continue to belch out those words, telling others, get ready, Jesus is coming back again. Pray, oh Lord, for Sister Leona, pray in a special way for her, pray a blessing upon her, her daughter, her granddaughter who is in college. I pray, oh Lord, that you'll keep her as an apple of thine eyes, and help our Lord to know, Lord, what you go there for, and to keep a level eyes, and to continue to lift up Jesus. Pray, O Lord, for our son, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that you'll rescue him from the enemy, O God. I pray, O Lord, that you'll be with him and strengthen him. I pray for all those who are on the prayer line, who have requested prayer, who is silent prayer. I pray, O God, that you'll meet them at their need. I pray, O Lord, that you'll bless them and keep them. I pray for Esther and her husband in a special way, O God. I pray, O Lord, that you'll continue to bless them. Bless their children also, O God, as they continue on this Christian pathway, O Lord. I pray, O God, a blessing upon them. Pray, O Lord, for Brother Akeem, O Lord, he's so wonderful. Those messages are so, it's for today, to wake us up to know what time that we are living in. He go down in history and he tell us, O Father, what is about to take place. I pray, O God, that you will continue to bless him, put your words in his mouth so that he can wake us up and show us, O Father, that we got to get ready. We got to do what is right and pleasing, to build our character, to know, Lord, that it's only our character that we can take to heaven. So I pray a blessing upon him as he bring the message. I pray, O God, that you'll touch his lips, that whatever he speak, O God, it will inspire us. So bless us, keep us, and help us all to be faithful as we trust you and as we serve you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Richardson, for praying for us. And also, we want to thank you for bringing Sister Esther, for her joining us. We just want to welcome her and know that you are always welcome. So don't make it your last time, my sister. And we just thank God for you and just continue to sing those praises. We just thank God for you, sister, once again. So, brothers and sisters, as we continue to open the line for Brother Akeem, will be the next voice you will hear. Give me just a second. Brother Akeem, you can press 1, but I know your number. So I will open your line. May God bless you, and you have the mic. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for the opportunity once again. I'm truly thankful for Advent Light. And so today we're going to be continuing in our study. Just a little sidetrack as it concerns Daniel chapter 11, but covering the same aspects that we've been looking at as it concerns prophecy.
But today I wanted to look at something that I've been studying as it concerns what's going to take place at the end of time that will cause and that will bring the ultimate attack against God's people. And so this is where we're going to go in between, back and forth, between the civil aspects that we've been talking about as it relates to how we operate within the world, as it concerns reaching others for Christ, and also going into seeing how the religious aspect will play into the end of time. So the civil and the religious. And today we're going to look at something as it concerns the religious. I've been studying the book of Acts lately, studying the issues, especially of prejudice and racial tensions and ceremonialism that the Jews had. And one of the things that I was seeing is that after the probation of the Jewish nation closed, we're going to look at some things that happened that actually will be repeated at the end of time. And so let's have a word of prayer before we start. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds by your Holy Spirit. Draw us ever closer to you. Help us to see the truths that you have laid out before us, that we might understand that which is coming soon, not just as it concerns in the civil arena, but Lord, as it concerns the religious arena. For the end time conflict will be a religio-political conflict, as we call it, as it concerns Revelation 13. A religio-political powers will rise against your people, Lord. And so guide us as we look at this religious aspect today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, so we're in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. So Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Now remember, in Acts chapter 7, the 490-year period for the Jewish nation to repent, turn to God, and to experience perfection of character, it ends in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, he prophesies, he proclaims to Israel that they were a stiff-necked people, tells them that because of this, now God was going to move on, and this was actually foretold by Christ too, and John the Baptist. They were warning Israel that the time was coming when their probationary period would close as a nation that God would use to reach the world. And so in Acts chapter 7, that time arrives. Stephen gives his last sermon. And as he gives that sermon, the people, rather than becoming cut to heart, they were convicted, but that conviction made them angry. And so they took him and they stoned him. And you remember, as they were stoning him, the great sign that we have, and this is powerful because one of the great signs that we have of when a probationary period closes is that you see Jesus standing instead of sitting. So in Acts chapter 7, you see Stephen looking into the heavens and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, symbolizing that now the judgment has come, the Jewish probationary time period has closed. God is about to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and he will use Gentiles to reach Gentiles. He will use Gentiles to reach the entire world. And so in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, now we're looking at the time period after the probationary time period closes. So we're in 34 AD at this moment, and right when that happens, when probation closes upon the Jewish nation, that's when persecution breaks out. That's very interesting because that happens again at the end of time. The only difference is in Acts chapter 8 onward, salvation is still open to people. People can still be saved. However, at the end of time, when probation closes, it will close for the entire world. Persecution will break out like never before. So the persecution parallel is the same, except it's going to be more intense. But there was a story in Acts chapter 8 that's powerful that I wanted us to look at. So it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, can you guess who was persecuting them? The people who were persecuting the Christians at this time, those who were receiving the truth, was their own people. The Christians at this time, they were Jews. But there was a group within the Jews who were receiving the messages of Jesus. They received the gospel of Christ through the message of the apostles. And the church, the Jews themselves, the Jewish leaders, turned against this new sect, this new religion that was rising up among them. You remember, all of the apostles, friends, were Jews. Majority of the disciples up to this point were Jews. And now seeing that there were Jews that were receiving Jesus, now the Jewish nation began to turn on people who were part of it but had accepted Christ. And so this persecution broke out to the point that it was so bad. It says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So the apostles stayed back, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So this is in fulfillment of what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1. So we're coming back to Acts chapter 8, but go with me to Acts chapter 1, and let's check out verses 7 and 8. Jesus prophesied what would happen when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, that's what they were doing, and in all Judea, that's what they were doing, but now they were pushed out to Samaria. So God was pushing his people out of their prejudice to reach the Gentiles. Remember, up to this point, they had problems reaching out to the Samaritans and also reaching out to even beyond that, all those who were not of the stock of Israel, not realizing that Jesus came to break down those walls of prejudice so that they would reach everyone. So these issues of prejudice that we're seeing today is not anything new. And so God is moving upon his people to come out of their bubble. And these people that receive Jesus, they begin reaching out now to the people in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So Philip was one of the first people who did that. So let's go back to Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. So it says in Acts chapter 8, actually in verse 3. First Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, check this out, friends. This is powerful. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon. History knows him as Simon Magus, which before time in the city, in the same city, used, here it is, sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So this guy was using spiritualism, sorcery, to win the people of Samaria. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, I wonder why he was wondering. Why was he so stunned by these miracles? Check this out, friends. It says, now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria heard had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not fallen on them as of yet, right? Only those who were baptized had received him. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now here's what Simon Magus did. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. So this guy was trying to use the power of omnipotence by giving money to get that power, right? And so what was Peter's response? Peter said unto him, now friends, I never understood this until this past week. It says, Peter said unto him, thy money perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. And then this is what Peter says, for I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Right? Then Simon said, pray for me. Pray the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come to pass. All right? Now, I wondered about this. I was like, whoa, those were some strong words from Peter. But friends, what we're going to see here is that Simon Magus really did have bitterness in his heart, and he did have iniquity. I'm going to read to you a statement. During these times, friends, as Peter's life, this was when things were okay, Peter was young at this time. But when Peter died, he died at the hands of Rome. He was crucified upside down. The emperor that was ruling Rome at that time was Nero. And Nero, not only was he responsible for Peter's death, Peter was crucified upside down, but also, friends, Nero was the emperor when Paul was killed. And so I'm going to read this statement to you. This is some deep stuff, friends. When I saw this, I was like, whoa, this is heavy. So this is found in Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 328. Sketches from the Life of Paul, page 328. It states, for about the time of Paul's second arrest, Peter was also apprehended and thrust into prison. So both of them were thrust into prison around the same time, Peter and Paul, separately, but they were cast into prison about the same time. Now I wonder, why was Peter cast into prison? This is the question. Peter had made himself especially obnoxious to the authorities by his zeal and success, here it is, in exposing the deceptions and defeating the plots of Simon Magus the sorcerer, who had followed him to Rome to oppose and hinder the work of the gospel. It continues. Nero was a believer in magic, and he patronized Simon. He was therefore greatly incensed against the apostle and was thus prompted to order his arrest. So what do we see here? We're seeing here, friends, that Simon Magus really did have bitterness in his heart. He really did have sin in his heart, so much so that while he asked Peter to pray for him, the rebuke of Peter was so intense, but it was so intense that for the rest of Peter's life, Simon Magus made it his work to oppose Peter's work of spreading the gospel. And so what did he do? Not only did he make it his work to oppose Peter and the gospel, but friends, he connected himself with Nero, who was a believer in magic. So Nero, now if we think of Nero, Nero represents Rome. He was the emperor of Rome. And so Rome at this time, its very head, Nero, the emperor, was connected to spiritualism. He was connected to magic. Now friends, it's not only that. Nero was not only connected, so Rome at this point had united, connected with spiritualism, but it's not only that. Friends, Rome actually also showed favor to the Jews, the apostate people, an apostate religion. You remember at one time they were supposed to have the oracles of God and give it to the world, but they had failed. By this time, 34 AD was long gone. and they were an apostate religion, and a religion that had apostatized in their faith. But Nero, who represented Rome, showed favor towards the Jewish nation. Now, we're going to look at something. This is actually historically revealed as it concerns Rome and the Jews. Now, Nero was so wicked that his first wife, he had her killed ultimately. But he then married another woman. All right? And this other woman had major influence. Her name was Poppaea Sabina. And she was a deeply religious woman who intervened on the behalf of the Jews on two separate occasions. Her first intervention came sometime between 60 and 62 CE, or we would call it AD. The trouble had started when Agrippa II, the great-grandson of Herod the Great, was visiting Jerusalem. Agrippa decided he would like to be able to look down over the temple from his Hasmonean Palace, so he could see the priests going about their business. For this reason, he had a large dining room built on a raised platform. Now, how do you think the Jews felt when some man connected to Nero was saying, I want to have something built so I can oversee what the Jews are doing in their temple? Friends, the priests were outraged by this. However, seeing it was an intrusion into their privacy, as a response, they constructed a large wall blocking his view over the temple precinct. Problematically, this wall also blocked the view of the Roman procurator installed to keep order in the city. Porcius, that's the procurator, Festus, instructed them to pull down the wall, but they insisted on the grounds it was now part of the temple. Desperate, the temple officials sent a Jewish embassy to Rome to appeal to the emperor. It would be the first meeting between Nero and the Jews. The deputation of 12, including the high priest and temple treasurer, could not have hoped the emperor would grant them their wish. After all, Nero's uncle, Caligula, had refused Philo's embassy away without so much as considering their case. Yet, to their great surprise, Nero ruled that they could get a wall. He did this, Josephus tells us, here it is, as a favor to his wife, who had pleaded on behalf of the Jews. So we're seeing here that Nero showed favor to the Jews because of his wife, Poppaea Sabina. So he showed favor to them, and so you could see that Rome showed favor to an apostate religion, and it also showed favor to spiritualism, to magic, because of Nero. Now, there is one thing that Nero, representing Rome, spiritualism, represented in Simon Magus, and Judaism, the apostate religion, all had in common. The Jews, Simon Magus, and Nero had one major thing in common at a certain point, and that was they all hated the Christian movement. They all hated this movement, this new movement that was rising up. They hated it. This new sect, the Way sect, according to the Bible, that was rising up. They hated it because it was having a major influence in Rome. It was taking people away from idolatry. It was taking people away from magic. It was taking people away from an apostate religion. It was taking people away from confusion. And you remember, Peter himself called Rome Babylon. So it's interesting in seeing this now, all of them hated the Christian church. And friends, you know what's interesting? As they all united, Simon Magus, Rome, and also in harmony, having the same hatred, along with the Jewish nation, they all hated the Christians. And so they persecuted the Christians to the point that ultimately, under Nero's reign, both Paul and Peter were martyred. friends, that's serious. Two of the great leaders of the church, of the early church. Now, friends, do you know, and I've read the statement to you all before, but do you know that this is to happen again? That Rome is once again to unite with spiritualism and apostate religion? Friends, I'm going to read this statement to you, and you all know it very well, but we're seeing that history is cyclical. History repeats itself. And here it is. This is what it says here. This is spiritualism we're reading, right? So it states here, this is found in the Great Controversy, page 588. It says, through the two great errors, the immortality of the soul, that's spiritualism, goodness, Sunday sacredness, that's paganism, Satan will bring the people under his deceptions. While the former lays the foundation, and these are not my, here it is. While the former lays the foundation for spiritualism, the latter creates a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants, here it is now, apostate religion, the Protestants of the United States The Protestants in the United States will be foremost, that's apostate Christianity, in stretching their hands across the gulf to grasp hands with spiritualism. They will have a affinity, a liking to magic, to spiritualism. They also now together, apostate Protestantism within the U.S. and spiritualism now united, will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country, the United States of America, will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. So, friends, this union of Rome, spiritualism, and apostate religion, whereas in the days that we were looking at before, it was apostate Judaism, at the end of time, it will be apostate Judeo-Christianity. All three will unite to trample upon the rights of conscience. And those who uplift liberty of conscience will be persecuted by this threefold union. And so what God is trying to show us is that as it was in history in the past, so will it be once again. And I wonder, who do you think will receive the blow as a result of this threefold union? Who do you think will receive the blow? Friends, I want to read a few statements to you here. As this happens, as this time comes, friends, those who are actually calling for men to have the right to think as they please, for men to have the right to follow the freedom to choose for or against whatever ideology comes their way, those who uplift that right, they will be the ones persecuted. This is what it states in, this is in Evangelism, page 236. The law of God through the agency of Satan is to be made void. In our land of boasted religious liberty will come to an end. In our land of boasted religious, in our land of boasted freedom, religious liberty will come to an end. The contest will be decided over the Sabbath question, which will agitate the whole world. And you know, it's interesting because in the time of Nero, when Rome was having dominion over the then known world, that's what the major thing was at that time. The major thing under the guidance and leadership of Rome was sun worship. It was paganism that was leading at that time. And so now this new movement rises up, who calls men away from paganism to serve the true God, not through the concept of force, not through the concept of coercion, but through the principle of freedom. The apostles were bringing these messages to the people, and so they were viewed as the enemy. This is coming again, friends. A great crisis awaits the people of God. Very soon, our nation will attempt to enforce upon all the observance of the first day of the week as a sacred day. In doing this, They will not scruple to compel men against the voice of their own conscience to observe the day the nation declares to be the Sabbath. And this is why many of the Christians were martyred during the time of Nero. They were martyred because they would not worship the gods of Rome. They would not worship and take into their own lives and religious practices the principles or the concepts of Rome. And so in the same way, friends, at the end of time, when Rome rules the world once again, these very principles will be resurrected. The principle of coercion, of force, forcing men to worship against the dictates of their conscience. So we can only expect then, as that rises up, martyrdom would become, would it's alive already, go to an all-time high. Men will be dying for their faith because they will proclaim people should have the right to follow their conscience. It continues, and this is the next statement. Here it is. Are you ready for this one? This is found in Last Day Events, page 144. Who do you think will be at the head fighting against this power that is seeking to coerce men? Friends, it will be Seventh-day Adventists. This new movement that has recently arisen on the scene, by the way, just like the Christian movement had only come into existence 2 decades before Nero, in the same way, friends, the Seventh-day Adventist movement, this new movement on the scenes within Christianity, we will be fighting the battle of religious liberty. Seventh-day Adventists will fight the battle over the seventh-day Sabbath. The authority in the... You remember, why was Peter arrested? Peter was arrested because he was standing against the authorities. And so this is what it says here. And there's a time, I'm not saying we should go out and try to fight people, okay? But what I'm saying is there's coming a time, friends, when our stance for truth will be considered as opposing law and order. We will be considered, Ellen White actually says in Great Controversy, enemies of state, enemies of the government. It's the same thing that happened to Peter. The authorities in the United States and in other countries will rise up in their pride and power. States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome. So what are we seeing here? This was before. They're only following in the steps of something that already happened in trampling on the rights of conscience. It happened during the days of the apostles. It happened during the 1,260-year period, and it will be resurrected at the end of time. My call to each and every one of us is to seek to be like Peter and Paul, to seek to communicate to men today the gospel of salvation, to stand against spiritualism, to stand and to uplift the truth of Christ's love, because the reason that Peter was opposing spiritualism, friends, is the concept of spiritualism is what led to the fall of the human race. Because Eve, and ultimately Adam, because of his love for Eve, followed in the way of the serpent, who lied to them, who was seeking to lead them astray from God, friends, this was called, what he told them was, you won't surely die. You won't die. And friends, that lie has gone throughout the ages. This is why Peter opposed it so adamantly, because it was teaching men how to fall again. It wasn't teaching them how to rise, how to become victorious. Hence, he combated spiritualism with the gospel, which in turn brings the restoration of the image of God in men and women, right? So, My call to us today is to proclaim the gospel, to uplift Jesus, to call men back to him that in them might be restored his image, and as a result, men see the power of God's love. That love is the opposite of force. So when men begin to see force demonstrated within this land, they will be able to recognize it because they know what genuine love looks like. Now, friends, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray, O God, this message made sense. I pray that you will continue to illuminate our minds, Lord, as it concerns standing for you in this time and in times to come. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Yes, can you hear me?
Brothers, I don't. Okay, I can hear you. Okay, we just want to make sure you didn't drop. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, but I just prayed and ended. Sister Leola?
Yes, I can hear you, brother. I can. You prayed
yes.
And ended. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yes, brothers and sisters, we want to thank Brother Akeem for bringing us this message tonight. And as he has brought us this message, sisters and brothers, about Simon, the one that practiced those things, and as we see what he had did, we know that that was in his heart came out. It didn't show at that time. You know, when he asked Peter to pray for him, it didn't show at that time, and Peter did not judge him, but the Lord allowed him to continue in his sin. Peter knew through the Holy Spirit had called it out, and as Peter called it out, you know what he did? He continued in his ways. You know, he wasn't sincere when he asked Peter to forgive him, and yet he continued to follow Peter on the way to still get him, because he had called him out in his sin. And of course, in sin that went to dealing with Nero, as Nero had dealt with all other people like his wife. Brother Akeem, we just can't thank you enough, because when I heard this and realized when you said Nero was the uncle of Caligula, and Caligula was wicked, very wicked also. Hold on, I hear. Okay, Brother Akeem, you must be traveling, right? So I will close out your line and just allow you to listen. So yes, brothers and sisters, as Brother Akeem has presented to us all this information about how God wants to deal with us, we just praise God that we see this and the people in the Bible, and by God's grace, we want to pray and ask God that whatever in our heart, Lord, help us, help these things to come out, because we don't want these things to linger and then till, you know, our probation close or whatever. But my point is that, sisters and brothers, if anyone have a question, I'm going to open Brother Akeem line up. And if you have a question concerning this information that Brother Akeem was teaching, you can ask a question right now. If you have a question, you can ask him the question now. So I just want to thank God for giving us this history, because with me, brothers and sisters, as I read about these things, I don't understand it, no. But simply, Brother Akeem bringing some of this to us, teaching us, I'm remembering names, and I'm putting these names together, and it was amazing. I did not know that there was a kinship there between Nero and Caligula.
I can't say his name too well, but I didn't know that was the relationship. And as we have heard all the other names and how these people come together, we see history, how history came to that, up into that point of these other emperors and people of in position. So, and we see how they continue in their wickedness, ruling and how they persecuted and all these things. And especially when Brother Aki mentioned, sisters and brothers, about how Rome is going to play that part with the United States. They're going to clasp hands together. And all this here is to bring God's word to bring God's word as prophets to the close. So we just thank God for this. So if there's anyone that has a question, take yourself off the host queue and press 1 again. But if there's no questions, sisters and brothers, we just want to thank Brother Akeem for bringing the message, and we want to thank the brothers and sisters for joining us. And we also definitely want to mention the other prayer line for tomorrow night, which will be very knowledgeable also, meaning the great controversy with hearing the great controversy on Monday night, learning about all this going to come to pass and all these trials we're going to have to go through. So you can hear this Monday night at 7 o'clock. If you're in Eastern time, in New York and up that way, you are 7 o'clock. If you're in the Central time, Tennessee, Louisiana, Arkansas, it's 6 p.m. So we asking that our brothers and sisters come on and share prayer line, because God, this work is not ours. It is God's work, because he wants us to learn of him. And we can't get it by ourselves. We got to study. When we study with one another, the Bible tells us that there's two or three gathered in the name of God, he's in the midst. So we want to come together and be able to study. So God be with my sisters and brothers, and I'm going to just say God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Amen. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Once again, God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem. We are just playing a song, and we ending the line. Thank you again.
Okay. Praise God.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so glad in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer,